I want to turn to 1 Peter 1. I'm going to read verses 3 to 12. And I want to read a couple of texts from Romans and Colossians. You won't have to turn to that. It's only a couple of verses, actually. But coming now to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 3, this is his holy word, so let's hear it. Beginning 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations and troubles, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And then Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to 27 of that chapter, the last chapter in Romans chapter 16, says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith to God, only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And again, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, we read of the mystery. He calls up, Paul says, I'm a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. May the reading of his word profit our souls. Lord Jesus, once again we are gathered together, small group of us in the evening hour, to pray, to praise your name, and to hear your word. Bless us now. Bless us with the gift from the Holy Spirit of enthusiasm and appreciation for what we have in your name. For your sake. And what we pray for ourselves, we pray for our family, loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, and even our enemies. And we certainly pray with our missionaries for others throughout the world to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, to have their eyes and ears open for the first time in their lives, and bring in a wave of joy and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last time I spoke about Simeon. Remember Simeon in the temple when he sees the baby come with his parents, regular guy, Joseph, regular gal, as they say, Mary, regular child, beautiful child, but regular child. Nothing, you know, there was no choirs of angels singing, there was no halo around his head, there was no glow to the people, to Mary and Joseph and Jesus. But Simeon was given a revelation at that time that this child was the consolation, right? They're going to bring comfort to Israel, and lifted up that child and praised God, and that now I can go in peace. You know, he's 80 years old, thereabouts, and he's ready to die. But before he dies, he wants to see the consolation of Israel, the comfort, the peace of Israel. And he is given the revelation by God that this child is that consolation. And he rejoices. And so did Anna, the prophetess in the temple as well, given a revelation of God that this child was indeed the consolation of Israel. There's also something else that Simeon said that was interesting. I talked about it last time, that Simeon said that to Mary after all the dedication was done. He said, and a sword will pierce your soul. A sword will pierce your soul. And the question was asked, did Simeon understand exactly what he was predicting, what he was saying there? Obviously, it's a reference to Christ hanging on the cross, her son at 33 years of age, hanging on the cross before his mother dying. Indeed, the sword piercing her soul. But did Simeon understand that? Did he see that Christ at the age of 33 is going to be crucified, hanging before his mother on the cross, breaking her heart? And I answered, along with many others, I'm just not, you know, it's not my opinion, I answered that Simeon could not possibly have known. He believed what he was given as a revelation, that a sword would pierce her soul. Obviously, it's a figure of speech, but he didn't know exactly how that was going to happen. And he didn't know that that child was the Christ, the Messiah, the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, although he understood, he knew Isaiah 53. He didn't make all the connections. Now, there are others who argue that the prophets of old, Simeon included here, Anna as well, and others, John the Baptist, they knew. They saw Christ. They saw his sufferings. They saw his dying. They saw his resurrection. Because it's all there. It's all in the Old Testament. And you read Psalm 22, and it talks about giving wine vinegar there to him on the cross with a sponge. Lifted it up. It's literally there. So they knew, right? And I say, along with many others, Calvin included, they did not know that. They did not see it. They did not see what you see. And your children, your Sunday school children, see and understand. They, the prophets, did not see it. Again, I want to remind you what Paul said in Romans 1 and in Colossians, Romans 16 and in Colossians 1, and what Peter said. And he said, the mystery that was hidden is now revealed. What is that mystery that was hidden that is now revealed? And then what Peter also said, the apostle, here in 1 Peter, where he mentions, and I'll just bring that up again, from verse 10, of which salvation the prophets, remember that's all the prophets from Moses on to even Simeon, and even before that, the patriarchs, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who later became or named Israel because he wrestled with God. He said, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Unto you. Unto you. They prophesied of the grace that should come. What grace that should come unto you? The grace of revelation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They searched diligently. They looked through dark clouds to see hints of what you see in the bright noonday sun. Searching what of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did testify. Yeah, the Spirit was in them, inspiring them, testifying, but they didn't quite see it all. They knew something was up. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And then listen to this verse. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, it would not be revealed unto them, but unto us, they did minister their prophecies, their things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look at. Way back then, the angels themselves didn't see it. They didn't know it. The prophets didn't know it. Before them, the patriarchs. None of them saw it. They testified to it. They got glimpses of it from way, way back there, way far, far off. But they did not quite get it. Now, there are some that say, I don't think so. I think they did see it. Simeon, when he said, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul, saw Christ hanging on the cross. And that's what he's referring to in sort of a poetic fashion. Really? Or when David said in Psalm 16:10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption, clearly referring to the resurrection. David saw the resurrection of Christ, right? That's what he says here in Psalm 16. Or in Psalm 69, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Of course, they did that at the cross. David saw it. Thousands of years before, David saw it. Right? And what about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:4, where he says of the Israelites that were in the wilderness, they drank of the spiritual rock. Remember the rock that Moses hit and water came pouring out of it, and it relieved them greatly. And of the spiritual rock which Moses hit, the Israelites did drink of that rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. So the Israelites understood that Christ was following them in the wilderness and providing for them. He was the one that was healing them of all their diseases. He was the one that kept their shoes from wearing out for 40 years. It was the same pair of shoes for 40 years. And their clothes from wearing out. For 40 years. And they all knew that it was Christ. And remember what Jesus said about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness? Just like that, the Son of Man will be lifted up. You see, there's all that testimony. I'm just giving you the facts from the scriptures of old, that it's all there. The gospel is all there. What Jesus did, his sufferings and his death and his resurrection, even his ascension into heaven and the glorious gates opening wide that the Son of Glory may come. Who is this Son of Glory? The psalmist still talks about that, right? It's all there. Remember what Augustine said. The old is the new concealed. The new is the old revealed. The Old Testament is revealed in the new. But if they did, the psalmist, Psalmist David, Simeon in the temple, the Israelites of old in the wilderness, Moses, Aaron and the rest, lifting up the serpent. Remember, lifting up the serpent, they all looked at the serpent and they were healed. Like that, all who look to Christ lifted up on the cross will be healed. If that's the case, that they all understood it, then why was Peter so adamant when Christ said, I must go to Jerusalem? Remember this? I must go to Jerusalem, and there I'm going to suffer at the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, and be put to death. What was Peter's response, and the rest of the disciples? Remember? Far be it from me, Lord, that that should happen. Remember that? Peter said, you are not going to do it. We're not going to allow you to do it. If he understood, along with the rest of Israel and the rest of Israel of old, that the Christ must suffer and go to the cross. Remember, Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't understand exactly what he was saying, because he wouldn't have said to Christ at that time, who was willing to go to the cross for the sins of his people to become sin so that we can become the righteousness of God through him. Peter would not have said, along with the rest of the disciples, no, you're not. You're not going to do it. To which Jesus responded and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou dost not savor the things of God. Thou dost not have the things of God in mind. Clearly, they didn't understand. Even Peter, who testified, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What he did not understand when he said that is that Jesus Christ is also God, is also divine. Because remember, when they were at sea and the waters were tumultuous and they were enveloping the ship and they were being tossed to and fro, and it was Dune City for sure on that rugged sea. And then Jesus stands up and says, peace, be still. And the skies cleared and the sea turned like crystal instantly. And Peter and the rest of the disciples, remember their response? They said, what manner of man is this, that he is controlling the weather, that he can calm the sea by his word? They didn't understand. And many times they did not understand. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus? How they thought that Jesus Christ was the one that was going to save Israel, rescue Israel from the Roman Empire, that he was going to establish a kingdom on earth, right? Because that's what they were all anticipating. They were anticipating, as many Christians do today, that God's going to establish a kingdom on earth where we're going to prosper, we're not going to be sick, we're not going to be troubled, we're not going to have heartache, we're not going to have sorrow, that Christ is going to come and he's going to establish this wonderful, blissful place on earth. That's what they thought. And then they're out the road to Emmaus, they're talking to the stranger, the two disciples there, and they're saying, we thought that he was going to be the one, that he was the one. And here he's crucified, he died, and was buried. And they didn't know that the stranger to whom they were speaking was Jesus resurrected. All of a sudden, he turns to them and says, ye foolish and slow and dull of mind, do you not know the scriptures that said the one must suffer, die, and rise again on the third day? And immediately their eyes were open and they realized, Rabbi, Master, Jew. And he began to teach them all that the prophets of old had taught concerning him. They didn't see it. They were just too dull of mind. They all were. What they did see, they saw through shadows. It's called by theologians, Calvin and others, the Day of Shadows. The Old Testament patriarchs and prophets, even Simeon and Anna in the New Testament in the temple there, even the disciples who walked with Jesus and talked with him, the scribes, the Pharisees, they were in the day, still the day of shadow. So what they saw as a shadow. They didn't see the body that cast the shadow. They saw the shadow. They knew it was there. They knew something was there. They saw the shadow of it, but they couldn't quite make out the body. They could make out the outline, so to speak, but not the full, glorious gospel. They just couldn't see it. The shadows were communicated. The truth was communicated through prophecies, through words, which were prophecies, and ceremonies, which were types. Types and shadows. Hinting at, pointing to, pointing onward, afar off. What you and I here at Calvary Church tonight and what many others around the world see clearly because the sun is shining. And the full revelation, the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached to us and we have received it. How have we received it? By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the influence of that. If you do not understand the scriptures, if you cannot appreciate how awesome they are, and how wonderful a thing that angels strive to look into and see and could not, and prophets of old as well, then you who cannot yet appreciate it, who cannot understand what a pearl of truth this is, this book. I could say with others like Hoeksema, I'm under its spell. My life has been changed, completely changed, and I know the difference. Some of you don't, because you were always raised up as a Christian. God bless you. He saved you from a lot, as my wife did testify one time at the Boardwalk Chapel. I don't have his testimony to give. God saved me from that. Praise his name. But I know what it's like to live in debauchery and sin. I've mentioned this a number of times before. And I know what it's like to live in the joy of Jesus. And I can tell you from experience, personal experience, graphic detail, if you like, although I'm not going to tell it here, what the life of debauchery is, and sin, and reveling, and drug addiction, and all the other horrors that I did. I don't deserve to be alive, no less preaching to the dear people of God. And then the joy of Christ at the revelation when it came to me that one Sunday, I was sitting in the pew, and the pastor, Pastor Mangione, was preaching from Jonah, running away from God, and said, how are you going to run from God? And I realized then and there, I was running from the Lord. Where are you going to go? From God. And he arrested me in that pew. Pastor Mangione didn't know me. I was among 400 people at the time, one among many, and he didn't know me from Adam, as they said. But God did. And Christ pointed right at me and broke my heart. And I'm indebted to him forever and ever. And that's one of the reasons why, because he has saved me from such powerful sin that had gripped my life and would have killed me. I may have lived to about 30, 35, or 40 on the road I was, if not for Christ, that I won't give up an inch compromise. I will not, by the grace of God, of course. In my flesh, I would, because I want to be liked. I want to be loved by everybody. I want success and all that stuff. I want to mean something. But I won't do it. I won't do it for you. I won't do it for my own family. I won't do it for anyone. And believe me, I've gotten in trouble with my own family, not my wife necessarily. She's always agreed with me and everything. Well, that's a little exaggeration. Oh, my kids, they definitely do not agree on everything. But other family members, and they didn't appreciate what I had to say, but I would not compromise. I tried to be sweet. I tried to be kind. I tried to tell the truth softly. I'm not yelling at them or fighting with them or anything like that, but I would not compromise. Why? Because I'm under its spell, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I understand now more than ever. I did not understand a thing. I heard about Christ. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. I heard about him. I received my baptism there. I received my confirmation there, my first Holy Communion there, and all that stuff. But I didn't know him. I didn't know him, as many Roman Catholics today don't. Any Protestants don't know him either. But when I finally revealed himself, then I realized how dull-minded I had been. Now, the prophets believed, but they still could not see the whole picture like we do. And I appreciate that so much. And I think you should too. In fact, I know you do. I just think our problem is we do not appreciate it enough. Because of the flesh, because of weaknesses, because of our troubles, because we're still bound to this earth and we put much more into earthly things and sensual things and sensuous things, you know, things that we can touch and feel and handle and see and hear and stuff, rather than put the emphasis more on our souls, on what really matters, the spiritual. It's difficult. And we don't, it takes away our enthusiasm, our, the gospel's appeal. We have been, the mystery has been revealed. Hidden from them of old, one generation to the next, more and more light was showing, but then the full light appears and the sun shines down upon brothers and sisters, upon us. Can you imagine? The world out there still doesn't see it. They're more dull-minded than the prophets of old. They're more dull-minded than than Moses or than Abraham, who couldn't possibly see all that we see now, didn't have any of this. They don't see anything. They don't see the worth of this at all. Their lives are about money, jobs, hobbies, houses, boats, whatever. Thousands of going to sheets and getting a coffee on Sunday morning and going back and listening to the news, which is a repeat of the night before and a repeat of the night before that and the night before that and the night before that. They say the same thing over and over again, a foolish consistency, the hobgoblin of little minds. They're little minds. But you have a broad mind. You have a big mind because it's been opened up by the Spirit of Christ to see into the mystery that is now revealed to us. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, thank you. Thank you for revealing to us the wonderful truth, the gospel truth, the truth that was hidden, so to speak. They saw something. They saw shadows. They saw types. They saw outlines and all, but they could not make it out completely until the Son of God appeared in this world. He lived. He died. He rose again, ascended into heaven, sitting on the right hand of God Almighty, and coming again to bring us to a place He's now preparing for us. Praise your name, your holy name. Heavenly Lord Jesus, bless us in the inner man for your great name's sake. And protect each and every one of us. First and foremost, protect us, our faith, our hope, and our love of you. For we ask these things in your name. Amen.